If you have your Bibles today, I invite you to find 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. The Lord uses a different watch. The Lord uses a different watch. All of 2 Peter is about addressing false teachers in this first century church. And Peter was reminding these first century Christians of the truths that they needed to remember. The truths that were contrary to what the false teachers were teaching them. We have heard that these false teachers denied the Lord. It's unclear if they denied His deity or denied His humanity or denied His lordship in their lives. Regardless, they were heretics and within the church. And so Peter, in an effort to remind, if you were to go back and look at chapter 1 and verse 12, you would find that word remind. And if you looked at chapter 1 and verse 13, you would find the word reminding. And if you were to look at chapter 1 and verse 15, you would find the word reminder. And he's continuing to remind them and consequently remind us. There in chapter 3 and verse 1, you'll find the word reminder. In chapter 3 and verse 2, you will find the word mindful. And in chapter 3 and verse 8, you will find the phrase, do not forget. This is probably not true of you astute ladies and gentlemen this morning, but this first century congregation, and at least I am prone to forget. And so we need these reminders that the Lord uses a different watch. And so if you have found 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, I invite you to stand this morning following along. And we're standing in honor of God's word if you are able. I'll be reading beginning in verse 1 and through verse 10. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of the coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word for these first century brothers and sisters, and your word for us. Remind us today of the truths that we need to remember. And we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Today is our next to last message in 2 Peter. We will finish next Sunday morning. But I believe this text is crystal clear in giving us three reminders, and the first is found in verses 1 through 7, and that is this: the false teachers will mock. The false teachers will mock. Peter, in a very gentle, friendly, kind address, begins, "Beloved, brothers and sisters, I now write to you this second epistle," and you're aware of the first, right? First Peter. "I write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your minds by way of reminder." I need to remind you because we're prone to forget. "That you may be mindful of those who have gone before you, the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets," the men of God in the Old Testament, acting as the mouthpiece of the Lord, "and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Well, what were the holy prophets saying? Well, let me give you just a small glimpse. Here's Malachi chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2, certainly Malachi would be considered a holy prophet. "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves." Well, what did the apostles have to say? Well, in a similar way, at least a similar subject matter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." The holy prophets had spoken before. The apostles of the Lord Jesus had spoken before. Remember what they have said. Verse 3, "Knowing this first, that scoffers," or mockers is the word that I used a moment ago, "false teachers will mock, that scoffers will come in the last days." Now, what does it mean to scoff or to mock? It means to make fun of. It means to denigrate. It means to cast doubt upon. And what are the last days? The last days are the days in between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. Some 2,000 years now of last days. And these false teachers, not only are they trumpeting the message of Jesus is not coming, they are living like Jesus is not coming. Look at where verse 3 says, walking according to their own lusts. They were living a life of pleasure, particularly as it relates to sexuality. They were doing whatever they wanted to do, whenever they wanted to do it, with no mind or thought that there will be consequences from the Lord for their actions. And we have men and women living the same way today. They are living as if Jesus is not coming back. I'll do what I want, when I want. And perhaps it could not be even better depicted on the bumper sticker or the auto decals that I have seen that say, only God can judge me. Well, God is going to judge you, friend. Make no mistake about it. God is going to judge me also. But by His grace and through His mercy, He's going to judge me in light of Jesus Christ in me. The sinless, perfect Savior. But these false teachers were living like Jesus isn't coming back. And again, that was their message. Verse 4. Here's what they were saying. Where's the promise of His coming? He said He was coming back. Guess what? He's not here. And they went on to say, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Nothing has changed. It all continues as it was from the beginning. Where is your Jesus? Peter had a rebuttal. And it's a strong rebuttal. Verse 5. Oh, you have forgotten. You have willfully forgotten. You have made the decision to forget. You have decided you're not going to remember. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water. If you can go back to the book of Genesis in your minds. By which the world that then existed perished. The world meaning humanity being flooded with water. Genesis 7 through 11. Oh, really? Things have gone on always without interruption like they did from the beginning? Oh, really? Don't you remember the flood? Don't you remember the global cataclysmic flood that destroyed all of humanity except for Noah and his family? You don't remember that? Well, as the Lord judged the world then with water, Peter said, He will judge the world again with fire. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word that God spoke the world into existence will be the same world that he judges the world at the end of time. By the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The false teachers will mock. And even today, there are those who laugh at the message of Christ. They laugh at the gospel. They laugh at the promise of Jesus' return. It's a myth, they say. It's superstition, they say. You've been duped, they say. The false teachers will mock. Remember that truth. But here's the second truth. Beginning in verse 8. Not only will the false teachers mock, but remember that the Lord is patient. The Lord is patient. Verse 8. But beloved, again, gentle reminder, talking to the body of Christ, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Peter is quoting Psalm 90 in verse 4. And he is simply making the argument that the Lord is patient. And the Lord uses a different watch. We look at time linearly. The Lord sees time eternally. I would not take this verse, although there have been plenty to do so. I would not take this verse and take it all the way back to Genesis and say, see, 1,000 years is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. So it took the Lord 6,000 years to create the earth. I wouldn't do that, friend. And I also wouldn't say, oh, really? You see, the Lord Jesus has only been gone really 2 days, because a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. I wouldn't do that. Peter is just simply making the point again. We are finite. And we look and see and view and experience time differently than the Lord, who is not finite, but infinite. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack, or your translation may say slow. The Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slackness or slowness, but is long suffering. More than likely, your translation reads patient. The Lord is patient toward us. And he wants all to come to repentance. He doesn't wish that any should perish, including the false teachers. And so he's patient. And praise the Lord that God's word affirms this reality. Listen to this verse in Psalm 86 and verse 15. Psalm 86 and verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering or patient, and abundant in mercy and truth. And then listen to this New Testament verse, one of my favorite, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long suffering or patience, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? It's the goodness of God, brothers and sisters. It's the patience of God that leads us to repentance. And even listen to this. This is the French reformer John Calvin in his commentary on 2 Peter and related to verse 9. So wonderful is his, God, so wonderful is God's love toward mankind that he would have them all to be saved and is of his own self prepared to bestow salvation on the lost. He doesn't want any to perish. Doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And ma'am or sir, you may be here today, and if you are rejecting the call of salvation on your life, can I invite you this morning to reject no longer? Answer the call of God on your life to be saved, to come to repentance, to receive forgiveness of sin and heaven and eternal life. Today, the Lord is patient. But then here's a third reminder. A third reminder there in verse 10. Not only do we need to remember that the false teachers will mock, and not only do we need to remember that the Lord is patient, but brothers and sisters, we need to remember that the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. You see, this is Peter using this analogy of a thief. And we saw just a moment ago in 1 Thessalonians that 5 verse 2 that Paul also used this analogy of a thief. But it's because the Lord Jesus himself used this same analogy. Listen to Matthew chapter 24 beginning in verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And then he says it again in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. He's going to rob us? No. He's going to steal from us? No. He's going to ransack our belongings? No. He's coming when you don't expect it. And so, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready? Are you ready? My invitation this morning is twofold. If you're not a follower of Christ, today would you receive Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life? Would you let the kindness of God lead you to repentance today? Turning from your sin and from yourself and putting your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time. The Lord is patient, but his patience will not go on forever. And then for my brothers and sisters, yes, we say that the Lord is coming. And yes, we believe that the Lord is coming. but are we living like he's not? If you say and if you believe that the Lord is coming again soon and we don't know when, are you letting that motivate you and inspire you to share the gospel with people who are lost? Or you let that motivate you and inspire you to be connected to a local church and to serve the body of Christ as the Lord would want you to do? Are you letting that motivate you and inspire you to live a godly marriage and to honor the Lord in your business and with your finances? The day of the Lord is coming, and it's coming like a thief, and we don't know when, and so we have to be ready now. Are you ready? I pray that we are. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me today? Just a few moments after I finish praying, I'm going to invite you to stand and join with Brother Chris, as he will be leading us in a very familiar song. And if you today would answer the call of salvation in your life, I'm going to invite you to step out in one of these aisles and make your way here to the front. I will be here, Brother Ronnie will be here, and we would love to welcome you today and celebrate with you and pray with you and counsel with you. We'd love to celebrate your decision to follow Christ. We'd love to counsel with you on what are the next steps. But today, would you answer that call to salvation? And today, would you answer that call to live like Jesus is coming back? Live like Jesus is coming back, and so that means you're going to share the gospel, and you're going to be connected to this local church. And you're going to be faithful in your marriage. And you're going to be faithful with your job. And you're going to be faithful with your finances. And you're going to be faithful in your parenting. Because Jesus is coming back. And you don't know when. Today our invitation will be for you to come and pray, to remain at your seat, and simply recommit yourself unto the Lord and to His will and His way. If you're a guest with us this morning and God is leading you to unite with this church family formally and officially, you know Christ as Savior, you've been baptized as a believer and after salvation and by immersion, we'd welcome you this morning. Our invitation will be for you after I finish praying. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you for these reminders this morning. The reminders for these first century Christians. These reminders for us here today at Emory Baptist Church. Father, help us to remember. Help us not to forget. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, would you come today on the very first stanza?